wounded or slain. And again, in Revelation, it says, I beheld a lamb as it had been slain. The entire constellation of the lamb is made up of 66 stars. And that same lamb that gave us the Lamb's Book of Life has 66 books in it. Now, Herodotus, who was an astronomer, and the ancient Egyptians very carefully charted these constellations and very carefully watched comet movement. They watched eclipses. They watched for, and by the way, the interesting thing about eclipses is we know that the Passover occurs at the full moon, right? Now, I'll tell you something. There's no possible way that there can be an eclipse of the sun at noonday during the time of the month there's a full moon. And we'll study that later on in astronomy. But the moon's in the wrong position to cause an eclipse. It has to be a new moon. See, when the earth is here and the sun is here, to be full, the moon has to be here. To be new, the moon can be here and cause an eclipse. So a lot of these people look for natural explanations to what happened between 12 and 3 o'clock on that day are out of their mind. But these particular folks that know astronomy studied it very carefully, noticed something very interesting that happened at the time of the Lord's crucifixion. According to Herodotus and the ancient Egyptians, on the 14th day of Nisan, now, when you read about the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, you read that God says, this shall be the beginning of months unto you, and he calls it the month Abib. But that very same month in the book of Nehemiah is described as Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. That's another name for Abib. That's the first month. The 14th day of the month, you remember, is day of the Passover. Now, they observed that as the sun was trekking along the ecliptic, and again, the sun is running counterclockwise. So the sun was moving in this direction. As the sun was moving across the ecliptic, on the 14th day of Nisan, in the year of the crucifixion, the sun receded into the noonday darkness under that star called Elnath in the eye of the Lamb. And that star Elnath means wounded and slain. And that very afternoon, the sun receded under that particular star, and that star appeared. That was the first star to appear. Now, that makes you wonder about that thing. The wounded, the slain, Lamb of God, and the sun recedes just at that particular time. Because what was happening was the constellations, the sun was changing from Aries into Pisces at that very time. And it receded under the star Elnath and then moved on into Pisces. It changed constellations. Because now, you think about it, during all that time, as it was moving through the Lamb prior to that, what were the Jews doing? Sacrificing a lamb, sacrificing a lamb, sacrificing a lamb, sacrificing a lamb. The true Lamb of God came, the sun receded under that thing, and came out under Pisces as the church age began. Is this coincidence? Is this chance? Or is this grand design? Amen. I'll tell you, I think I got it. You know, Galatians says in chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. In Romans 5, 6, it says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What a mighty God we serve. It's good to be saved, isn't it? What a blessing. Now, the interesting thing is you picture this sign. Notice how the Lamb is looking backwards. He's reclining gently, and he's looking back over his shoulder, and he's holding the band. He's holding that band that holds the fishes, that band that's attached to the sea monster, the largest constellation in the sun. He's holding it with one paw. What a wild picture. Now, I haven't done a lot of fishing in my life. Okay, I did it once when I was a little boy. And, you know, you catch a little fish, it's no big deal. But as a fish gets a little bit bigger, it takes a lot to pull on it. Now, these are two very large fishes here. You got two very large fishes to try and bring into the, you know, to keep control over. And not only do you have two large fishes, you have the largest creature ever created in Cetus, the sea monster, the Leviathan. And here is a picture of our lamb that would take my full strength and all concentration I have, and it wouldn't make much difference. I couldn't handle it. And here I see him just with one paw like this and looking back like this as he holds together the church and holds back the gates of hell against his chosen. Yeah. What an amazing picture in that constellation right there. He holds up the church and restrains the devil with aplomb. Not even nothing for him. It's nothing for him. That's why it says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, as we move along in this particular constellation, the first decan is Cassiopeia. Cassiopeia, you have to... Well, you saw Andromeda before, and you saw the king Cephas. In the middle of them is Cassiopeia. She really is hard to make out here. It's really hard to make her out. But at home, in one of the books, it has an enlargement of that particular constellation and the way it's drawn. And what's pictured in there is a woman enthroned in a queen's throne. She's sitting on a queen's throne. She's high and she's lifted up. She is arraying her robe with one hand, just like the king was next to her. She now has, it's a picture of a progression from Andromeda to Cassiopeia. She holds in one hand the branch of victory. See, you differentiate this with Andromeda. It's like a picture. Andromeda is eventually going to move forward and be seated next to Cepheus as Cassiopeia. She's going to move forward as the queen enthroned and glorified. The word Cassiopeia means the enthroned woman. Now, some of the other names that they have for this constellation, in the Arabic constellation or zodiac, they call her El Sidar, which is the freed. And in the zodiac of Dendera in Egypt, she's known as Set, which is set up as queen, or the daughter of splendor. That's what Albumazer called her. She has a total, interestingly, of 55 stars. I don't know, you think about that. And she's got 55 stars in her. We studied math last time, and we thought about 5 as a number of death, and then 5 as a number of grace, and here she's proceeded to achieve the full graciousness of being blessed to sit next to her husband, the Redeemer, her bridegroom in heaven. There are 5 bright stars in her in the shape of a W. And the interesting thing about the 5 bright stars, it's arrayed with 1 binary star, 1 triple star, 1 double star, a quadruple star, and a nebulae. So it's very interesting. In other words, a double stars, binary stars, quadruple stars, triple stars, they're like gems in the skies. It's something astronomers don't see so often. And here they all are arrayed around this enthroned woman. All the precious jewels have been put upon her by her husband now. All of them across her in one, just concentrated together in one little constellation. The brightest star in her is in her heart. And it means Shidir, which is the freed. She's now free, no longer bound like she was before when she was Andromeda. The second brightest star in her is the one she's holding, Kaf. It's the branch. For the branch of victory, which she holds in her hand. She's seated in the Arctic Circle next to her king, her bridegroom, the Cepheus, which was we studied before in Pisces. Now, the next decan that we see in this particular constellation of the Lamb is the sea monster, Cetus. And we saw him before. We alluded to him before, but he belongs to this particular constellation. He's on the outside of the ecliptic again. He's always on the outs. He's without. And here he is out here. And we see the Lamb restraining him with one paw. And the sea monster, Cetus. This is the largest of all the constellations found in the skies, in the heavens. Because right now the devil looms over all of us as the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air. And he's large. He's a behemoth. He's a leviathan. And he puts any one of us to flight, which is why...